left off in the previous shiur with a big breakthrough of the Avne Miluim in the Sukkim Vemavan. So we said that in our Gemara, in Masechus Chulin, it's not 100% clear whether this prohibition of Eim Mevatlet Isla is an Issa Derais or an Issa Derabanan. The fact that the Issa exists, that's given. The fact that everybody agrees, and now that I take a piece of chazer and throw it into a pile of shul and hope for the best, and say, oh, it's about Bathwashishim and call it a day. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do that. That's double Pasha, you're not allowed to do that. Whether that's a dim in a Torah, that's a dim in the Rabbanan, that's a little bit unclear in the Rishonim. So the Avne Miluim came up with almost a compromise for him. He said that in Kola Tarakula, so the prohibition of taking chazir and aveilus and treifus and throwing it to your pot to chula, the ikra did that truly mutter. Midda rice, you're allowed to do that. You just have to make sure you get it right. You get the numbers of shisha right. But midda rice, you're allowed to do that. The only time when you're not allowed to be mevatel, yisurim lechachila min haTorah, is in the realm of truma, the realm of kachim, the realm of holy kinds of foods. Why is that? Manishtana, truma and kachim. So the Avne Miluim says, because there's an issur min haTorah to be mafsid kachim. It's an issur min haTorah to be mafsid truma. You're not allowed to destroy a davar kadosh. You're not allowed to take a piece of truma and throw it into the garbage. You're not allowed to take a piece of a carbon and throw it into the garbage. You're not allowed to burn it. You're not allowed to get rid of things that have kedusha to them. If and when it becomes possible, that's a whole other story. But kol zman that it's in the state of being kosher truma, kosher kachim, you have to be shomer them b'kedusha, and you're not allowed to cause any hefset to happen to them. Says the Avne Miluim, you're not allowed to take a piece of truma and throw it into the garbage. So if you take a piece of truma and make it ois truma, you make it no longer truma, ein lecha hefset truma gol mizah. That is the greatest possible violation of hefset truma. You are literally, pshut kavasha, you are mafsid truma. You remove truma from this world. Ein lecha hefset truma gol mizah. And that's an issa deraisa derived from a phrase mishmeres trumosai. That's a bitul of mishmeres trumosai. So says the Avne Miluim, in other areas of halacha, it could be there's nothing intrinsically wrong in haTorah of taking chazir and aveilus and treifus throwing them into a big pot of soup. But to do that to truma, that would be a problem. And that's why our sugya happens to be talking about quote-unquote truma. Our sugya is talking about el nazir, about the part of the el nazir that goes as a truma l'kayin, so to speak. That's the reason why it would in fact be an issa deraisa. That was a big breakthrough of the Avne Miluim. So we saw on Monday, we saw the raya is back and forth and back and forth to the son-in-law's kashas, terutzim. Is there a raya from the Rishami? Is there a raya against it from the Bavli? Again, that we spoke about some of the intricate rayas for and against the Avne Miluim. But now the question is, really conceptually, from a lumdish vantage point, what exactly is the Avne Miluim telling us? So if we think about this Avne Miluim, we realize that there are really two big breakthroughs, two big chidushim that the Avne Miluim is balak tzais, the Avne Miluim is telling us. That number one, he's telling us that the violation of Shmeres Trumosai is not just a physical violation. It doesn't just mean to take truma and throw it to the garbage. It doesn't just mean to burn something unnecessary. It doesn't mean physical destruction. It means halachic destruction as well. Halachic destruction of something is also constitutes an iser of mishmeres trumosai, which is really a chiddush. I wouldn't have necessarily said that on my own, and I'm not saying everyone even agrees to that, but that's chiddush number one of the Avne Miluim. Chiddush number two of the Avne Miluim is that ayadei bitul Isurim, by the bitul b'shishim, bitul bro, whatever the number of bitul is, you are accomplishing halachic destruction. I wouldn't necessarily have said that either. One could have argued, and we'll see, some may argue, that when something is batel, it doesn't mean it's not here. It means we don't have to reckon with it, we don't have to deal with it, we don't have to create isurim with it. But is it here? It's here, right? It's very, very much here. It's alive and well. So they're really a double chiddush of the Avne Miluim. It's a chiddush number one, in terms of the details, in terms of the parameters of the Isra being mafsa truma. Everyone agrees there's an Isra deraisa to be mafsa truma. Those are sugyas in the end of the first Bechah Pesachim. So everyone agrees there's an Isra deraisa derived from Mishmeres Trumosai to be mafsa truma. The Avne Miluim's breakthrough is that mafsa truma doesn't only mean physical destruction, but it can mean halachic of liberation as well. That's also called mafsa truma.
Would the Avne Miluim agree that once the truma was botel, and you added additional truma to the point where it's no longer within the shield?
Oh, okay, that's going to be part of the cash against the Avne Miluim. That's the second half of what we're going to talk about. So again, so chiddush number one of the Avne Miluim is that halachic destruction is called destruction. And number two, who says it's called halachic destruction? Who says just because something is batel, that means it's commander lesa? Who says it doesn't exist? Maybe it does exist in a certain realm, in a certain plane. So we have a lot of work to do just to understand the lumdus of this Avne Miluim. So where is the source for this idea to equate halachic destruction with physical destruction? So when the Sefer Divya Cheskel, Divya Cheskel was one of the Rashi was in Slobodka right before the war. So the Divya Cheskel points out that he thinks that there's a source for this Avdim Luim already in Rishonim. It's actually found in a Rambam. It's in a Perish of Mishnayis of a Rambam in Maseches Trumos. You have to have Bekiyas on Bekiyas. Because you have to know all the Mishnayis in Trumos. Then you have to know all the Perish of Mishnayis in Trumos. Then you have to know the Avdim Luim. So the Divya Cheskel connected all the dots. And he has the following presentation for us. So there's a Mishnah, the fifth of the Marmakomos, the Mishnah Maseches Trumos, it says as follows. Ein osin tamarim dvash, v'lo tapuchim yayin, v'lo sitonias chametz, v'shar kalaperas, emisham el samar b'yosan, b'truma umay sesheni, el azesim enov mulvan. So the Mishnah tells us that one is not allowed to take dates or tapuchim. It's not 100% clear what a tapuchim are, the apples that we call apples, or other kinds of fruits. Other kinds of fruit, any other kinds of fruits, and you're not allowed to turn them into mashkin. You're not allowed to turn them into beverages. What does it mean? If they're kedusha, if they're kadosh, if they're truma. If you have fruit that's either truma or you have fruit that's maaser sheni, those are things which have kedusha to them, you're not allowed to squeeze them and turn them into a cup of apple juice, or turn them into a cup of, date honey or something. You're not allowed to do that. The only kinds of fruit that you're allowed to do that to are zeisim yanovim, are olives and grapes that you're allowed to turn into olive oil, that you're allowed to turn into grape juice. So that's a Mefarish Mishnah. So the truth is, this Mishnah actually appears in Maseches Brachos. For those who remember Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago, it's quoted in passing in the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. So what is this? What is the problem here? What in the world is the issue with taking a date and turning it into a date honey? I want to drink date honey. What's wrong with making apple juice? Why should there be anything wrong with taking fruit that has kedusha and turning it into a beverage? So the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that this constitutes a violation of destroying truma, of mishmeres trumosai. The Torah says that you have to be sure to keep the sanctity, to keep the shmira on the dvar mekadoshim. Mishmeres trumosai applies to truma, and then in a certain sense, by extension, that type of mitzvah applies to ma'aser sheni, because ma'aser sheni is also called biyati hakodesh b'rabbah. It's also called the dvar kadosh. So whenever you have a dvar kadosh, you're not allowed to destroy it. Why is this called destroying it? I'm not destroying my apple. I'm going to have a beautiful, wonderful, delicious cup of apple juice.
You reduce the bracha.
Oh, it's probably the other way around. I mean, the bracha is reduced because you destroyed it. It's all part of the same story. So l'chor, the pasha pshat is that this is not the normal way of consuming fruit, at least b'zman chazal. The normal way of consuming fruit was to eat fruit. It wasn't so common to turn things into fruit juice. And therefore, when you take something and you eat it in a mashunadik way, so you are decreasing the quality of what you're doing. The highest quality of consuming this fruit is X, and you're doing Y, that's considered to be a violation of mafsit truma. That's the pashup shot. That's what the Rashba writes in Maseches Brachos, when the sugya is quoted. The Rashba writes that the reason why this is asur is because it's not darko bekach to consume these beverages. No normal person drinks apple juice. No normal person drinks oranges. No normal person has date honey, says the Rashba. And therefore, the person who does it is in affecting mafsa, the truma, the ma'aser sheni, etc. That's the pashup pshat in the sugya. If that's the case, that the pashup pshat in the sugya is that you're being mafsid it because you're doing it in a sense shaloka derech, this opens up the possibility why this may change according to the time and place. It means this may not be an absolute objective statement. Proof positive, when it comes to zeisim v'anofim, it's okay. The Mishnah says that even though you cannot take apples and turn them into apple juice of truma, but you can take grapes of truma and make them into wine. You can take olives of truma and make them into olive oil. The Rashba says the reason is obvious, because that's normal. That's dakibaka. That's what people do. So says the Rashba, whatever the oilum does, that's normal, and that's not called a hefsed. Whatever the oilum doesn't do, that's abnormal, and that is called a hefsed. It's based on this Rashba, the Chazanish said, that this is going to change according to the time and place. And the Chazanish said, let's say, Lamashal, you have oranges. The Chazanish is writing in Eretz Yisrael back in the 1930s, 1940s. He says, you have a lot of oranges, the Jaffa oranges, a lot of oranges. And the oranges are very normal to make into orange juice. If you see a fellow in the 1940s making a cup of orange juice, you don't scream at the guys, you're a sugar, what are you crazy? What are you taking a beautiful orange and making into orange juice? Everybody makes orange juice. So says the Chazanish, that this din wouldn't apply. So then Bizman is there. If you have truma, if you had Maaser Sheni, and you wanted to turn it into orange juice, so Chazanish says he thinks it would be okay. If you have a kind of a fruit that's taka not darka bakach to make into a juice, so that would be a problem of mafsid. Whereas if it's darka bakach, so then the rules will change. Not that the halacha changes, the physical, the application, the mitzvahs changes, and therefore this din would change b'zman hazeh. You try wondering, so who cares a truma by sasheni? Who in the world is making orange juice out of truma by sasheni? So the Chazdish says this din also applies to perishvias, because any fruit that grows during the Shemitah year has kedusha to it. People have a misconception that things that grow in Shemitah are not allowed to eat. So that's absolutely not true. Things that grow in Shemitah are permitted to be in under very, very certain circumstances. There are certain things that grow in Shemitah that are not allowed to be in altogether. But there are many, many things that grow during Shemitah that are very much allowed to be in. They just have to be in the observing the proper halachas. People don't want to be bothered with those halachas, so they stop eating perishvias. But there's nothing wrong with eating perishvias, and according to some, there may even be a mitzvah. According to one opinion, there may even be a mitzvah in perishvias. So things that have kedusha shvias, if they're done properly, there are certain things, vegetables, other grains, things that grow during Shemitah that taka cannot be eaten altogether. But fruits that grow from trees during Shemitah, so those are mutlach chilus v'chilus to eat. You just have to be careful to observe the dinim properly. So one of the dinim of perishvias is that you're not allowed to be mafsid perishvias. You're not allowed to take something that has kedusha shvias and throw it into the garbage. Those who've been in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah may have fond memories of the pach shviases, of the special garbage cans all over the place, that you're not allowed to throw out pieces of fruits and different things that you're not going to eat, so you have to put them into a special place and wait for them to rot by themselves. So comes the Chazanish and says, what would the din be if a person wants to take an apple of Shemitah and turn it into apple juice? So the same way that the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do that with Truma, you're not allowed to do that with Maaseh Sheni, so you wouldn't be allowed to do that with Shemitah either. Because whatever has Kedusha, Perishvias have Kedusha to them, so whatever has Kedusha to it, you're not allowed to destroy. So comes the Chazanish and says, but maybe this, the application of this din wouldn't apply with Manasseh. That since the Rashba says, the whole reason why you're not allowed to make these juices is because that's called mafsid, because that's not the normal way of consuming the fruit. So you're lowering the standards of what you're doing with this fruit. Says the Rashba, if it's all based on Shlomo Kederech, argues the Chazanish, that would change b'zman hazeh. And that was a famous psak in the Chazanish, very important psak in Eretz Yisrael. Chazanish paskin, that any fruit that you have in Eretz Yisrael today, even though it has kedusha shvius to it, if that's the norm, the regular way people use it is to make it into a juice, so then it's mutter to make it into a juice during Shemitah also. Even though the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, says the Chazanish, no, it's not true. Says the Chazanish, that's only true bizman when it wasn't normal. If it becomes normal based on the Rashba and Brachas, then it becomes permissible. And it's based on this Chazanish that people are making today to make orange juice. People take oranges, they make them into orange juice during Shemitah, and that's permissible. And that wouldn't be a violation of being mafsid peiros, just like the Rashba said in Esugya.
How
do you say dvash tmarim wasn't usual? Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is the Torah describes Eretz Vas Chalav Dvash. Yeah, that's a difficult Rashi, but what does that mean? Unless the word dvash is just a code phrase for tmarim. Dvash doesn't really mean dvash. Dvash means the tmarim, they're just called Al Shem the Dvash. Yeah. I remember when I was in Kiryat Yavne, so I had a roommate who used to love orange juice. In Kiryat Yavne, in certain months a year, they served a lot of oranges. So we used to get hundreds of oranges per meal. So he would take the oranges back to the dorm, and he had a juice maker, and he would turn them into oranges. So I remember he used to do that during the Shnas HaShemitah also. So I asked him once, I said, why is that mutter? Isn't that La'ochel Hefset? Isn't that being Mavsid Perishvist? I basically asked him this Mishnah. So he said to me, no, he said the Chazdish. He was right, the Chazdish was Mekel on the oranges. He became a big Paisik later on. His name is Rabbi Bucharis. I don't know if anyone came. He's now a Dayan, I think, in Ashkelon or somewhere. He became a big chashiv tamachachim. But in his early, he was a fine guy in the early years, but he was my roommate, and he used to drink a lot of orange juice, so maybe I gave him a lot of kirchas to learn a lot of Torah. Anyway, so those who remember, I think Rabbi Israeli remembers one of our trips, we spoke about this recently, when we went on a food trip in Kolel. One of the more fascinating tiulim in Kolel is the halachic food trip. So every once in a while I go along to accompany them and to supervise all the halachic issues that come up. So one time we did it during the Shnas HaShemitah. So one of the things on the food trip was we plucked berries. The berries were all hefker, they're all berries shvias. We plucked certain berries, and then we made the berries into smoothies. So there were two shilas involved in making them into smoothies. One we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there was a shilah of bugs. It's a shilah of emavatlas, lechadchila. You allowed to, lechadchila, throw something that has bugs into it and throw it into a blender and hope for the best that all the berries are broken up. So we spoke with that a little bit, but there's also a shmita problem. Are you allowed to take berries and turn them into a smoothie? So when we got there, I asked the smoothie people one question. I asked them, is this normal or not? What do people usually do with these berries? Does anybody eat these berries, or is it they're just always made into smoothies? So the guy says, well, we have a smoothie factory here. So what we do all day is make things into smoothies. So I said, okay, good. So that's the Dark of a Kach. This is like the Chazanish's orange juice. So I thought it was okay. So we were matal lechachila to make the berries of Shemitah into smoothies. That's not a violation of this Mishnah. So getting back to that story, the Pasha Pshat is that this whole halacha of Enos in tomorrow, and Vash, etc., is all based on Hefsid, La'ochla Hefsid, so to speak, or Mishmer Shemosa, whatever the particular source is. It's all based on that idea. Just parenthetically, it was that Chazanish was the reason why the Chazanish Paskin, that you make her eights on orange juice. Because the Gemara says in Brachas, the reason why he makes shahakal on these things is because it's not Dark of a Kach. That's what the Rashba says. So the Chazanish had his famous Psach that the correct Brach on orange juice is her eights. The reason why in America, well, even in Eretz Yisrael, I think most people don't do that, is for technical, logistical Hilchos Bracha Shalos. I've talked to your son about it. It was one of the Chaburas in Kesef Baruch and TBC a couple of weeks ago. So there's a reason why we don't follow that practice. But the Chazanish was of the opinion that you would have to make an eight set of oranges.
Is there a threshold that it has to cross in order to be...
Yeah, that's the Chazanish himself is not sure. He himself writes that it's not always so easy to decide what's called Dark HaBakach or not. Few people do it. Rope people do it. Most people, it's not so clear. But we've been working with the assumption that this din of Enos and Tamarim Dvash, etc., is based on physical destruction. But if you take a look at the Rambam and the Perish of Mishnayis, the Rambam seems to have a different twist, a different spin on this Mishnah. So the Rambam writes, and the fifth of the Ramakomos, Chutz bin Anav Vazeis Mavad. So why is it that it's okay to take grapes and turn them into grape juice? Why are you allowed to take olives of Trum and turn them into olive oil? So I would have said, if I was writing this Perish of Mishnayis, I would have said, because that's normal. So that's not what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, Chutz ben Anav Mezeis Bavad, Shenema behen kol chelev dagon tirish v'yitzar, v'tirish hu ha-yayin, v'yitzar hu ha-shemen, v'koram Hashem reishis, k'mo shekar sabikurim reishis, v'chayim v'em truma, u'lefikach mutter lehotzi mashkein bein shiur truma v'mayis ha-shayini. The Rambam says, you know why they're mutter? Because the Torah says it's mutter. Because the Torah says that wine is a davar chashav. The Torah, in describing being mafresh truma, the Torah says reishis the garcha tireish chav yitzarecha. The Torah does not say reishis apple juice. The Torah does not say reishis orange juice. The Torah only speaks about tirish and yitzar. Why is that? Because only tirish v'yitzar, only wine and olive oil, are halachically elevated to be significant enough to. I don't have a call, so okay, we still got this. Only wine and olive oil are significant enough to be elevated to the point of being called a mashke. Only those things as the Torah gives chashivas, as the Torah gives significance to. And therefore, how can you say, I'm sorry, I can't take grapes and turn it into wine? Why? Because wine is not chashiv. Wine is not chashiv. The Rebbe Shlom says chashiv. The Rebbe Shlom calls it tirish. So what do you see from this parashat Mishnayis? That the Rambam did not go down the path of the Rashba. The Rambam does not discuss, is it normal, is it not normal, do people do it, is this called ruining it, not called ruining it. The Rambam's determination, the Rambam's barometer for whether it's mutter to quote-unquote destroy something is the halachic definition, not so much the physical definition. The halachic definition, if the halacha declares that this item is chashuv, then that's okay. And if the halacha declares that this item doesn't basically exist, then that's a problem of being mafsid truma. So comes the Devi Yecheskel and says, this Rambam is basically the idea that the Avdim Luim has developed for us. Remember we said the Avdim Luim had two chidushim. Chidush number one is that halachic destruction of something constitutes destruction. And we weren't even so sure. We weren't even convinced that that was correct. So says the Devi Yecheskel, it sounds like he is correct. It sounds like he's being supported by this Rambam. Because the Rambam, in defining whether or not any given mashke is called mafsid d'pri, the Rambam does not ask the people in the smoothie factory whether it's normal or not. The Rambam does not ask the people whether they like to squeeze orange juice. The Rambam looks in the Torah, and the Rambam says, state in the Hilik Torah, that this is called the Davar Choshev. That's not called the Hefsid. And doesn't state the Zohar of the Torah, then that is called the Hefsed. So says the Devi Yecheskel, that's kim'at what the Avim Luim is saying as well, that if the Torah defines something as being no longer here, and the Torah says it's batal, so the Torah is saying that it's kim'at the Leisa. But nevertheless, says the Devi Yecheskel, we've only proven halfway of the Avdim Eluim. All we've proven from this Lashon HaRabbah and Perush Mishnayos is that halachic destruction constitutes destruction. But we're not even sure that we accomplished halachic destruction. When you have bittul, is that really called halachic destruction? Is that really true? That once something is this batel, it's gone, history finished, gone for life, never gonna come back, never gonna see it again? So says the Divya Chesko, that's not so partial at all that is true. The background to that is a sugi that we've alluded to a few times, but it's really coming up, because it's coming up in a few weeks, a month, depending on our pace. But it's the sugya that's called Chayz V'Neir. The background to Chayz V'Neir is based on a rush in Maseches Chun, the seventh parak, where the rush discusses the following shalom. We know the famous din min haTorah, three pieces of meat on the table. None of them have the wrappers on them. Two of them I know are kosher. One of them I know is treif. And now I'm looking, I can't tell for the life of me which is which. So what's the din? Midarais echad betrei batel. So basically it's batel, according to most Rishonim, it's batel from midrabanan. It's mutter to eat the meat. I didn't define yet what that means, the meat. I have three pieces of meat, two are kosher, one strafe. Shtei tshechrach, it is mutter to eat the meat. Says the Rosh, not only is it mutter to eat the meat, it is mutter to eat all the meat. Not only is it mutter to eat all the meat, it is mutter for one person to eat all the meat. Not only is it mutter for one person to eat all the meat, it is mutter to eat for one person to eat all the meat all together at the same time in the same sandwich. The Rosh says there is not a problem in the Torah, not a problem in the Rabbanan, that I can take all three pieces, even though I absolutely scientifically know I am eating a piece of nevela. There is not a suffix whatsoever that I am eating a piece of nevela. The Rosh says it's mutter. That was really correct. It is mutter lechatchila shel lechatchila, both min haTorah and min haRabbanan, argues the Rosh to do that. And probably the overwhelming majority of Rishonim agree to that. Maybe there are chumers deRabbanan. Maybe. But mid deraisa for sure, and according to the Rosh, even mid deRabbanan, it's mutter lechatchila. Why is it mutter? So the Rosh says his famous yesod. He says because bittul barov has nothing to do with sveikas. It's not that we're betting that, we're wagering that maybe we're okay. No, that's not what bittul barov means. Bittul barov means iser nepach lios heta. Those are the four words that the Rosh coins. That what used, as you said correctly, what used to be nevela, it's not nevela anymore. If you don't believe me, says the Rosh, and the Rosh doesn't say it, but if you don't believe me, so you're cursed for an apostle in Chumash. Acharav Mahatos, that's what the parish of Rov is. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Rov. Iser nepach lios heta, and therefore there is absolutely nothing wrong, not min haTorah, not min haRabbanan, one person making a triple-decker sandwich out of all three pieces of meat. One of them was nevela, but is no longer nevela. It's the famous sheet of the Rosh. If that's the case, it makes it sound like when you have something that's batel, it's gone, it's out of here, it's finished, it's history, which would seem to support the idea a little bit of the Avdim Eluim, that once we've ascertained that halachic destruction is called destruction, bittul barov is a pretty solid, pretty decent destruction, haraya, it's so destroyed, it's so mandalized, it's so gone, that I can eat it, all three of the pieces. Not so posh, it says in the Yecheskel. Even in the worldview of the Rosh, that it's so gone, almost so gone, in the following. Says the Rosh, what would the din mean in the following case? I have three pieces of meat on the table. Two of them are kosher, one is treif. All the labels are off, they all get mixed up. Gevalt, psak is mutter. Mutter lechachil, eat a sandwich of all three. Then what happens, when I'm not looking, somebody tosses in another piece of treif for food, another piece of meat. I also can't tell the difference. And now I scratch my head and said, wait a second, I don't have a rove anymore. I have two and two. Then somebody throws in another piece of tray for meat. Now I got three to two. What's the din now? Can I eat all of the pieces? So if the Rosh really truly believed what he said, that the issue was nebuch neosata, the answer is yes. Because now I have, let's say in the first case, I have started out with three pieces. So now the halach of rove paskid all three are mutter. When the next piece of treifos falls in, so I have a 3-1, so which basically becomes 4-0. When the next one throws in, I have a 4-1, which becomes a 5-0. And literally, come a bottle. I can do this 1,000. I can have 10 million pieces of what used to be treifos food. As long as I started out with two kosher, I could solve the world's problem. It's an epic. If you really believe that, does anybody really believe that? Yes, the Rishonim would really believe that, but the Rosh was not one of them. The Rosh says it's not true. The buck stops here. What did the buck stop here? Says the Rosh, there's a principle called Chayz V'Neir. Chayz V'Neir means literally what was sleeping woke up. That means the Dover Aser was mutter, it was Nepach Lios Heter, but it can become Aser again. It is not gone goodbye out of the park, never to be seen again. it can potentially come back to life in under the right circumstances. Says the Rashi, how could that be? What kind of din is that? It's almost like a, it's like Maman of Shach. If you really believe that Bittul does what it's supposed to do, how can Chayz Vineir make any sense? So the Rashi says, I'll tell you very, very simple. What if you have three pieces of meat, and I'm looking at it, and I have no idea which is which? And my paskin is Rav, Bittul Rav. Somebody comes and says, somebody walks in and says, wait a second, I recognize the trefa piece had a little mark on it you didn't know about, but I know that's the trefa. I'm telling you, that's the trefa piece. What's the din? That it's called nikar isser. Once it's recognizable, once you could tell which is which, so of course the bittel doesn't apply anymore. Why is the bittel in this batel? Why is the bittel unravel when you have nikar isser? Because nikar isser means you don't have a taroivis. Bittel only makes sense in the state of Taroivis. Taroivis means that everything has lost its character, it's lost its identity. We don't know, it's all one big mix, one big cholent. And now comes the Parashah Zatayr and says that when you have a Taroivis, you can have Bittel. But if you can undo the Taroivis, if it's Ois Taroivis, then it's Ois Bittel. Nikar Isser is the antidote to Chus Taroivis. Nikar Isser can unravel a Taroivis, and by doing so, by a corollary of unraveling Taroivis, is that you unravel the Heter Bittel as well.
Rabbi. Says, in a more normative situation, if somebody bites into their triple decker sandwich and recognizes that the piece in the middle doesn't taste like
that's right. That is also called nikah, right? That would also be called
so
nikah.
So he runs to the mikvah. I mean, what is?
I have to run to the mikvah. He should throw the sandwich out. Yeah. At least throw out the middle piece. Yeah.
So when he bit into it initially, it was mutter.
Right, but now it just became usher. Right, and now it's nisa deraisa. Right, because the taravos is over. So the Rush says that when you have, when the numbers are turned against you, statistically, once the numbers are no longer in your favor, that's ois taroivis. Once it's ois taroivis, then it's ois bittel, and the bittel becomes this batel. So even the Rosh was the biggest super duper make on Lukas Bittel, says bittel is meyudik nerve oyim. It could change characteristics. It could take isurim, turn them into dvarim mutarim, but not totally. There's still something there. There's still a shem, there's still a mashu there that could resurface under the right or the wrong conditions, depending on what your perspective is.
That's not nikar ha-isser. That's nikar that there is isser.
Oh, so that's a chiddush of the Rush. That's what's going to. Normally, we think nikar isser means I could see it. This is also, there's like a halachic nikar isser, right? It's a chiddush of the Rush. And not all Rishonim agree to it. The Rishonim hold that there's no such thing as nikar isser. I mean, there's nikar isser, there's no such thing as chayz v'neir. So comes the Vichesna and says, if this is all correct, that even when you have bittel, you don't have an absolute, total and complete destruction of the item. It's still there to a certain extent. Haraya, it can, under the right circumstances, come back to life. Then the Avdim Luim becomes more difficult to understand. Yeah. The Avdim Luim is telling you that you were mafsit the truma is gone, history finished, it's like you threw it into the water, you burnt it in the fire. No, I didn't. I just placed it in a situation where it's batel. That bittel may become this batel at some near future, so maybe that's less of a problem, as Mishperesh Trumah say. So when all the dust settles, this is the famous Avdim Luim, the famous Shekhel Torah, the Avdim Luim, that Eim Avatlas and Achila can be deraisa by Trumah v'kachim. It's based on two premises. One is that halachic destruction equals physical destruction. That seems to be borne out by the Perish of Mishnayis. Chiddush number two, that bittel is an absolute, complete, this total destruction. That's not as poshut. One could maybe question that. But I'll call upon him, not with saying that the Yecheskel's questioning of the Avilum. Avilum's Shita is a very, very famous part of the Shtel Torah. When a person learns the Sugya, Vim Avatlas, Lachil, Derais, and Rabbanan, so the Avilum is a major, major Maramach. Hopefully, that's Hashem tomorrow. We're going to go to the other half of the Sugya, and that's the Chavez Das, the Nesivis. When we start off the Sugya, we said that the two Ga'ayne Olam, the Tzais and the Nesivis, each one had a Chiddush in the Sugya of the Araises, but in about the Sechilus, I'm the Luin part we finished. Hopefully, on the show tomorrow, we'll start the Nesivus example of the Sechilus.